This week's episode is sponsored by Helio Gas Detection and Rising Suns, the award-winning brewery in Cork. Hey everyone, this is Letty for the Smash and Skull Sessions. I'm here with KM North from Coffin Womb. How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm all good. Good way to wind down on a Sunday, ask a few questions. I'm looking forward to this. So welcome to the podcast. You know, how are you feeling? Did you have a good day?
Actually, I was currently in the process of watching the Puppy Bowl. So it's the highlight of my Sunday right there.
The Puppy Bowl. That sounds an even cuter version of the Super Bowl.
It's great. I would highly recommend it. Oh yeah. It was a tight game. Like it was like halftime, like literally when I came up. So I go, this is perfect timing.
Nice. Who's winning so far?
I believe Ruff is in the lead, 31-28 over Bark, I believe.
Nice, nice. We'll have to see how that one goes.
Oh, yes. I can't wait.
So to our listeners who maybe haven't heard of you guys before, could you introduce yourself and your role in the band?
So I'm Cam. I am the band. I do everything. I have a friend who does drums. That's kind of, tell him what I need kind of in my head, and he kind of does his own thing. Cause I can't play drums that well. So he helps me with that. And then I do everything else. All the lyrics, guitar, bass, vocals, anything else it needs doing.
That's really impressive. You're a multi-instrumentalist as well as the vocalist.
Thank you. Yeah. I've been playing guitar and bass for like 25 years. So just it kind of comes, and where I live, there's not a lot of people. So it's just easier for me to do it myself than like try to like get people. Like you can, but it's time consuming. It's a pain. So it just allows me to kind of do something myself where I kind of have control and can kind of do what I want, take it in any direction that I want, which is kind of fun.
And you can kind of tip away at it like whenever you want instead of like organizing around other people.
Yeah, exactly. Like I do a bunch of other projects where I do work with other people. Like I have an actual like band, but I do a lot of online stuff where I work with certain people, and like sometimes it's me doing vocals for them. Sometimes it's me doing the music and they do vocals, or they add some other stuff to it and stuff. Whereas this is literally just like if I have like a half hour, like I could just kind of sit down and bang out a song or two and, you know, kind of work at my own pace. And I don't have anybody to really answer to. So it's literally just kind of like me sitting here. And if I don't like a part, I don't have to worry about like, hey, I don't like your guitar part. You know, like I can just be like, all right, it sucks. Move on. You know, try something else.
That's pretty cool. So how did you get like the inspiration to start this project?
Like I said, I'm in a bunch of different bands and stuff. And like, I grew up, like my teen years were very like late 90s, early 2000s. So like, I was heavily influenced by like Converge and Curl Up and Die, Cave In, like that kind of stuff. So it was me just kind of wanting to make some hardcore oriented, loud, metallic kind of stuff. Like, it's not like, you know, everywhere that I talked to is like, oh, it's not, it doesn't, it has the hardcore roots, but it doesn't fit just with like, you know, a generic hardcore band, which is kind of what I was going for. Like, I wanted something that was kind of ugly, and like, I wanted something that was a harder listen. You know, like, I mean, I love like, you know, just kind of straight up hardcore, like Minor Threat, like that kind of stuff, like old school, like, you know, new school, like kind of like American Nightmare kind of stuff. Even like the newer bands, now, like No Cure and that kind of stuff. Like I like that kind of stuff, but it was just something I wanted to take kind of the thought and the mentality of hardcore and make it a little bit darker, like kind of like the Banner. Like that other, a big favorite band of mine and stuff. So like something like that, where you could just kind of listen to it and see the influences and hear them. But also like, oh, well, this isn't just a generic, you know, like, you know, two-step song.
Yeah. I did take a listen to a few songs off of Godless, and from what I've heard, like, it's excellent. Cause like, Syrup Moose, who sent me the link to it, I got the link to this SoundCloud as well. Cause the,
yes,
album's not out yet of time recording, and absolutely slaps. Like, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I definitely appreciate it. It was something, like I said, I kind of went, you know, into it, and like, it's a fairly new project of mine. Like, it's been around for like 6 months. And like, I've released a bunch of music, you know, with that, and like each kind of, release, I'm just trying to kind of do something a little bit different. Like, you know, I don't want to just to do like a complete 180, but just kind of go through and have it so you know, like, all right, I know this band, but like just adding something different to it. So each release is a little bit different, like, you know, whether it's, you know, a little more hardcore leaning, which I'm kind of like working on, or whether it's more kind of noise rocky, kind of like Ken Mode kind of stuff. Just trying to kind of, I don't want to be a band that, you know, just puts out the same record over and over again.
You don't, like, want to do the same thing twice.
Yeah, exactly. Like a lot of my favorite bands, they push themselves, whether it's good or bad. Like, you know, I brought up Converge. Converge has never made the same record twice. Like, some of their stuff, you know, isn't my favorite compared to like other things, but I can at least appreciate them as an artist, you know, as musicians, you know, trying to create something new, trying to do something new. Even if like it's not something where I'm like, oh my God, this is like a 10 out of 10, I can at least sit there and be like, you know, I can appreciate and applaud them for trying something new, for, you know, trying to like bring something to the table that's not, you know, maybe in their wheelhouse. It's not something that they've already done.
Yeah, I always respect experimentation. And even with like some of my favorite bands, like I won't name names, but you'll see after like maybe their third album, they've settled into a routine of an album every 3 years. That'll be the same stuff. Like, yeah, it's cool, but I kind of want to see something new.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the other part too, is like, you know, especially like some of the, like the seminal bands you kind of think of, you're just like, all right, well, you already made a great record. If I wanted to hear that, I would just listen to that same record. Like, yeah, you know, try something new. Like, even if it sucks, even if it's not good, at least you're trying, you're putting in that effort to it, rather than just like, oh, you know, they're doing that same riff that they did, you know, eight other times. It's like, it gets really kind of pointless to me.
It's why I respect Metallica with going with Load, Reload, and Saint Anger.
Yeah. Exactly. And that was the whole thing. Cause I mean, you know, they were like, I mean, I'm a huge Metallica fan. Like their first album, like their first four albums are like untouchable to me. Like, you know, you don't talk shit about those albums at all. Like, it's like, okay, you know, they came out with like the Black album. It's like, okay, you know, and then like just kind of seeing like what they did in the 90s and the early 2000s stuff is like, okay, you know, like even if it's not my thing, like I can appreciate, I can see them at least trying something new. Or like, you know, I tend to focus on like their first four albums, like the last couple they put out, like Death Magnetic and shit. I can't even think of the last two, like the Hardwired to Self-Destruct, and then the 72 Seasons. Like, it's them at least getting back to what they did, but it's fun, you know. Like I can appreciate what they're doing now, because they're, you know, they've done whatever they've wanted to do. Like, they're just a band. They're at this point, you know, they're legit. Like, you can't really talk shit about them and stuff, but I can definitely appreciate that the 90s stuff, even if it's not like my favorite stuff, even if like it's not something I'm going to listen to, you know, like even once a year, I can at least appreciate them trying to do something new, trying to, you know, just kind of see what they want to do. Like their the split they did with Lou Reed, like, to me, it was not a good album at all, but I'm like, I was like, all right, I was like, at least they're trying, you know, like they're at the point now, like they're not doing it for anybody but themselves, which I can definitely appreciate.
Yeah, it's like, if you want to make music, you make it for yourself. Like, it's cool if like fans dig it and stuff, but like at the end of the day, you need to make it for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Like I can definitely see, like, I mean, you know, there's a lot of bands now that I'm like, I hear a part and I'm like, okay, you know, they're putting in, you know, the call and response to it, because they know that their fans are going to eat it up and stuff, which I'm like, all right, that's cool. You know, like, I don't want every song being like that, but like, you know, I can appreciate like doing it that way. But it's like, you know, then I see some of these like really popular bands, I'm like, God, you know, you guys are so awful. I'm like, you know, it's like, you guys just doing the same shit. It's like, why? You know, like, because it works, as they make money and they sell records and whatever else. But I'm like, you know, just as an artist, like, you know, doesn't, I don't care what medium you're using, you know, music, movies, you know, art, you know, tattooing, I don't care. If you're not striving to do your best and striving to do something different and push yourself, it's like you're just being really lazy. And like, I have zero respect for people who are lazy about that kind of shit.
Fair point. Speaking of your new album, Godless, it's out the 23rd of February. How was the writing process for that?
So I write really, really fast. Like lyrics, I mean, I wrote literally, I think probably 95% of them in like a weekend. I just kind of sat down with a bunch of records that I liked and some movies that I liked. And I'm like, I knew the feeling that I wanted for it. And so I just kind of, I wrote a bunch. And then as far as like recording the actual thing, I recorded it all in about a week and a half. There was a couple songs that ended up, I recorded later, cause I just wanted to add a couple of other songs to them. But it was super, super simple. I mean, that's kind of what I do. Like I have an idea in my head going forward when I sit down to kind of record anything. And then I just try to match up whatever's in my head. And it wasn't, and that's the part too, is like doing it myself. It's not stressful. Like if things just don't sound good, I'll do something else, or I'll take the day off or whatever. Like, it's, I don't have the pressure that I know like some bands and some artists do, knowing that you're in a studio and you have a certain amount of time, you have to get stuff done. Like, I can appreciate me doing it myself as far as that goes, because like there are days where I'll record like, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 songs, and then there are days that I like sit down, I'm like, all right, I'm not feeling it today, so I'll do something else without even having like to record stuff. So I have that kind of freedom, which I definitely appreciate, because I've been in studio settings where like you have to get stuff done and it's not a fun time at all. So like I said I had an idea of what I wanted it to sound like, and I had an idea of basic kind of overall feeling. Like, I don't really do like themes, and like there's not usually much as far as like songs going together, or like, you know, lyrics that are like, oh, that's going to be in like multiple tracks, you know, like a kind of like a weave through story kind of thing. For me, it's more of a, like it's an actual overall feeling, kind of like when you sit down and listen to it, like the band Cursed, like to me, like they're a feeling band. Like, you put them on and you're just like, all right, yeah, I'm in a horrible mood, and this is just the kind of music for that. And so that was kind of what I was going for, was trying to like fit everything together so it felt cohesive, you know, as an album, or just something where you could just listen to like, you know, 3 songs, you know, randomly from the album, and like, all right, well, these kind of go together, but they still stand on their own.
It's kind of like a sense the vibe.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's to me is always a big thing. Like I know like people have kind of gotten away from like listening to like albums like front to back, cause you know, just like with, you know, how accessible music is, it's so easy to just listen to like 1 or 2 songs and like, oh, all right, and stuff. But I'm definitely an album guy, which I mean, I think from the time that I kind of grew up, that's what you did. Like you bought a CD or a tape or whatever, and you threw it in and you listen to the whole thing, and stuff. And I'm still very much that way. So like, I like albums that you can kind of play and get, you know, spend the, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes, whatever it is, with them, and, you know, have that whole experience. Which is what I try to kind of, you know, do in pretty much every project that I have, but especially this one, just to kind of give it like a fullness. You know, if you start, you know, from the first song to the last song to anyone in the middle, I want it to feel, you know, kind of cohesive and to not kind of betray anything. Like, I don't want a song to be dark just because I like, oh, I need a dark song. Like, if it fits, it fits. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, like, I'm okay with having, you know, outliers here and there, but I don't want to do something just for the sake of having something that needs to fit on the album. Like, if it goes together, awesome. If it doesn't, okay, that's fine.
That's a really good way of approaching an album, rather than just like, you know, building up like all this tension and stuff, slapping an acoustic song right in the middle of it, like even if it doesn't fit.
yeah, which I mean, I definitely get, like, I mean, you know, like, you know, I listen to a lot of different stuff, and like there's every once in a while, like I'll listen to something and like, oh man, that song was totally out of the blue and stuff. Yeah. Which I'm like, okay, you know, like, you know, all depending on what I'm listening to, like if it's, you know, just some, you know, generic kind of like, you know, rock album, like, okay, I'm like, it's not going to take away from the overall feel of it and stuff. But like, if it goes together with everything, I'm like, all right, you know, like it's kind of nice to have that experimentation. But like, if it's done properly, like you see a lot of bands trying stuff and it's like, I see what they're going for, but they failed horribly and stuff. So it's nice when it comes together to, you know, work, you know, as that, and as opposed to like just kind of like the one random ass song that's on an album.
Yeah, I think A Day to Remember really hit on the head with their album Homesick. Just putting it, If It Means a Lot to You, at the very end of it, just like chef's kiss.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing, is like, if a band could do it properly, do it well, it works so great. And then if a band doesn't do it well, it's like, oh man, it's a giant, just like red flag, like black mark on the whole thing. It's like, oh, they ruined the whole thing.
Yeah. So if you could collaborate with any musician dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh man, that's a great question. Honestly, probably Buddy Holly. So I'm a huge like 50s rock fan. That's what I listen to a lot. Buddy Holly is like my favorite artist ever. So just knowing how he died, which is actually just a couple weeks ago, the anniversary of him, and stuff, and how young he was and what he tried doing with his recording career and like what he was really working on, even like at the time that he died, he was really like pushing the envelope an insane amount that nobody really ever gives him credit for, because he kind of died, and then the things that were released were typically like just kind of like greatest hits and stuff, and then like it wasn't until like the late 90s, early 2000s, when people really started going through and putting all of his like unreleased stuff out, and just being able to hear that. Like there was a huge release probably like 15 years ago now, that had a bunch of his home recordings that he was working on, because they had like a home studio that he had kind of built himself, and it was just like top of the line at the time. And just like seeing stuff that he was working on, it's like, dude, if this guy would have had like even like 10 years, I mean, just it would have blown everything out of the water. Like, and it's kind of funny because everybody talks about like, what Hendrix did with his studio stuff and the sounds and the stuff that he was trying to do, and the Beatles and things. It's like Buddy Holly was doing that a decade before, just nobody knew it because nothing of his was released at the time. So like just seeing what he was able to do and what he was trying to do, like to me, it'd be kind of fun just to kind of like pick his brain about things. And from a songwriter standpoint, just kind of like seeing how to write the actual like perfect like pop song, and then just like from the technical aspect of like what he was trying to do as far as engineering and just sound wise, just kind of like having him just like sit down with like a computer today with like Pro Tools, like it would just be insane to watch him just kind of mess around with stuff, because I just can imagine like him geeking out for like a year straight and just like not eating and coming out like and just like releasing 8,000 tracks all at once, and just them just being the most insane shit in the world.
I can just imagine his reaction to like a seven string, like an extra string.
Exactly.
Like, what can I
Yeah,
do with
exactly.
this?
Like seeing the progression of things, stuff, because I mean, like back, I mean, like 55, like kind of like when he started out and stuff, like, I mean, like his songs, like especially like the first couple albums and stuff, like if you listen to him, it's basically punk rock without distortion. I mean, his stuff is stupidly fast. Like the tempo, the guitar playing, it's very, very fast. And basically, I mean, it's kind of like the Ramones took his stuff and just put distortion on it. And stuff, but like listening to that stuff now, it's like, dude, if give this guy like 20 years, because I mean he died when he was like what, 22, 23, whatever. Like give him like 20
Is he
years. I mean,
part of the
he's like
27 Club?
no, he was like 20, 22 or 23. He was
Oh, damn, he was young.
yeah, well, because well, him and Richie Valens and the Big Bopper died in the plane crash in on 59. So that
Damn.
and that was like one of those things, like if he was so far ahead of his time and stuff. I'm like if you listen to his stuff, it's like it's so fast and it's there's so much going on. It's just like he predated punk rock, but he was just as fast as like any punk rock band out there, 20 years before punk even started.
He was the predecessor.
Yeah, exactly.
Coffin Womb, is a really interesting band name. It is actually what caught my attention when I got the email. Is there a story behind it, or how did you come up with it?
I wanted something really unsettling. Like I was kind of going through, like I said, having certain other projects and stuff. Like to me, you're either gonna be into a band or not by a name. Like I'm that way. Like there's certain bands out like right now that are popular. I was like, I hate your name. I'm not gonna listen to your music. Like it's just I'm a dick. I will admit it. Like I hate that name. Even I don't care like what you sound like. Just it's a horrible name. And so like I try to like that's always been something like I try to take a lot of time and put in effort to getting not even just a band name that sounds cool, but that actually like fits the music, that gives you like that thought, like what like you see the band and you're just like, all right, I know what I'm in for. And so like it was, to me, it was something that was kind of like just super kind of unsettling and dark, but it wasn't like okay, well, this is gonna be like a black metal band, or oh, this is like death metal. Like, I wanted kind of like you just to see it and like be like, all right, well, I know in my head it's gonna be loud, it's gonna be, you know, kind of in your face and dark and abrasive, but I don't know what to expect from that. Which is something I really did, because that's the other part too, is like, you know, seeing bands and like there's certain like, you know, bands, you just you see the name, just like, all right, I already know exactly how you're gonna sound, and that's really, really just boring to me. Like, I like to be, you know, have a little bit of surprise. Like, there's nothing in the world cooler than finding an awesome band that has a great name. They're just like, all right, but you can already like picture yourself like wearing their t-shirt or like, you know, seeing their logo, and like I really enjoy that. And this was just kind of a way, I was like, I thought it was kind of, it was dark enough where you knew what you're gonna be getting in for. But like it left enough to the imagination where you weren't gonna know, you know, like, oh, this is, you know, like, you know, D-beat hardcore, oh, this is just gonna be, you know, a typical slam band. Like, it left enough to the imagination to want to actually like listen to the band.
Like, even the logo that you've come up for with Coffin Womb, like, it's gonna fit like so well on a shirt, like with like a massive back print. Like, I can just imagine it already.
Thank you. Yeah, that was the kind of the whole point. Like, I had a friend and they designed it. I sent them a message and I had seen some of their designs. I did some bunch of like tattoo designs and they're really, really awesome. Their handle or username or whatever is Infinite Dust. Super awesome person. But I had seen some of their stuff. I was like, oh, I was like, you know what? I was like, I think they could actually like kind of do something. So like, I sent them a message. I was like, hey, I was like, I have this band. This is kind of what we sound like. I think I sent them a couple of tracks that were like just kind of demo tracks. And I was like, I want something that's going to be legible, but like something that's going to be kind of like memorable and stuff. And like a week later, they sent me like a couple different things. And I was like, dude, you killed it. So I was like super happy, because that was the big thing. I was like, I wanted something that was going to look cool, like, you know, on a shirt, like on a hat, just, you know, on a, you know, something that you're going to be able to see and kind of, you know, and recognize, like, you know, that's kind of the flip side of that is like, you know, all these like, you know, black metal and death metal bands have like all these like logos and shit that you can't understand like what it says. And it was like, dudes, like, all right, like, it looks like a bunch of chicken scratch. Like, I don't know what your band's name is. Like, it's really hard to promote something that I don't
they're missing their marketing opportunity.
Yeah, which, I mean, and that's, you know, I get the whole appeal of it, but, and like, I've had friends who are just like, oh, you know, it's not like, you know, death metal enough. Like, it, you know, it can't be legible. I'm just like, well, that's just really stupid. Like, you're missing the point. Like, I don't want to talk about some band whose name I don't know. Like, you know, and you know, that to me is always like, I have a ton of friends who make music, and a lot of it, you know, of us like finding new artists are talking with one another about certain artists. And like, if I'm on, you know, Spotify or YouTube or, you know, scrolling through stuff, like, if I see something I like, a band, like, I want to know who you are. Like, if I know where you are, it helps, but like, that's not like the biggest thing, but I want to know who you are so I can tell my friends. And like, you know, seeing some logo that I can't read the name of, I'm like, all right, you know, you guys sound cool, but I don't know what the fuck to call you. I can't tell my friend about you. So it's really stupid to me about the whole, like, you know, logo not being able to like be read, or like, at least like upon first glance. Like, to me, it's always like, if I'm scrolling through something, you know, like on social media or Spotify or whatever, I want to be able to see the bands. Like, I want to be able to read what their name is as I'm scrolling, like, that to me, because it makes sense, because that's, you know, how everybody like spends their time now, is, you know, scrolling through their phone on, like I said, if you're like on Spotify or YouTube or, you know, Twitter or Instagram or whatever, you're always scrolling. Like, if you're able to read what the band's name is in that time that you're scrolling, that to me is huge, because if I know that band, I'm like, I'm going to, you know, scroll back up. I'm going to, you know, pause to see it. Where if I just see a bunch of, you know, like just scratches on a thing, it's like, all right, I don't know that band. I don't care. Like, I'm not going to take the time to put into it to try to understand who they are.
Yeah. It's, what helps me a lot is like, if they tag them, I'll be like, oh, that's what they say.
Yeah. Yeah. Which exactly, like, you know, like, it's kind of, to me, it's like one of those like inside jokes. Like, if you know the band, you know the band, but if you don't know the band, it's like, who the fuck are you?
It's kind of become a meme at this point, just like the black metal kind of like chicken scratch writing, which, like, I love the meme. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, it's like, okay, you know, like you see like a, you know, a splatter of mud. It's like, oh, it's that band and stuff. But it's like, at that point, it's like, you know, are you doing it because you're creative and you're, you know, wanting to do this? Or are you doing it just because it's, you know, a kind of a fun, cool meme thing to do? Like, it becomes a parody of actual like cool logos and band names and stuff. And to me, I'm just like, yeah, I've really had enough of it.
Fair enough. That's a really good way of putting it, really. But Coffin Womb logo needs to have a massive back print on a t-shirt. I really want
Thank
that.
you. Well, we actually, so like, I just designed something, and I'm trying to figure out like why my Big Cartel thing is such a pain in the ass. Like, it doesn't show up, and stuff. But it's got it on the front, so it's a big logo, and then on the back, it says "Kill all transphobes," which I was like, that's really awesome. But like, for whatever reason, like, it won't show the back of the shirt, so it just shows the front, and I'm like, no. So I'm trying to figure out like why it won't do that, because I'm like, that like makes half the shirt like seeing it on the back. So like, I'm trying to figure that out, and I'm hoping like Big Cartel is going to help me with it, because like, I'm like, oh, like I see all these like double-sided shirts and they look awesome. I'm like, mine just shows the front. But yeah, no, I definitely appreciate it. Like I said, my friend designed it, and I thought they did an amazing job. And I was like, I can't draw that shit. And like, I kind of give them very, you know, brief, you know, vague things, and I thought they absolutely killed it.
Awesome. Please do pass it on. That it's a great logo.
Thank you. I definitely will.
Do you have any favorite album releases that you're looking forward to in 2024 or?
I mean, I listen to a lot of my friends' stuff, which that makes up a lot of what I listen to. My friend John, he's in a bunch of different bands. We play some music together in a couple things. He just sent me a bunch of demos for like four things he's putting out this year, TH Speedball kind of stuff, and Champ and Noise stuff, which like it's super fun, like very artsy, hardcore, like dancey kind of stuff. It's super out there as far as that goes, and I'm really hoping that like people are like kind of like pick up on it, because it's super fun. Like, especially like hardcore doesn't have a lot of fun stuff going on, so it's super fun to like hear some like really like, you know, kind of like, you know, bass and guitars and drums and stuff, but then also like all this like synthy like 8-bit kind of stuff going on. It's really interesting.
Kind of a bit like
So
Electric Callboy or something.
yeah, like it's and like oh shit, yeah, like there's a couple of bands like MS Paint kind of stuff. Like, it has that vibe to it. It's super fun, and so like I love listening to his stuff, because like, to me, my friends that make music, it's always seeing what everybody else is doing. Like, oh man, that's awesome. Can I, you know, not even like one up them, but can I match what they're doing? Like, can I, you know, be as creative as they are? Like, that to me is always it. I like my friends being creative, because it forces me to be creative. So like all of his stuff is just super, super awesome. So I listen to a lot of like my friends' stuff. As far as like bigger stuff, I listen to the same like eight albums. Like, I don't listen. I try to get into new stuff, and I'm old and senile, and I hate most everything. Like, I just listen to them, like, this is super boring. I'm really hoping there's some cool albums coming out. Like, a lot of my favorite bands released albums last year, like the Gaslight Anthem, the Menzingers,
Good
Dave
picks, good
Haas.
picks.
Yeah, like they all came out in like a span of like a month of each other. So like, I'm like, I don't know who's really like actually like releasing music now that I'm like, oh, no, I'm really excited for. So like, I'm just hoping that I'm gonna find a couple other newer bands that I'm really kind of in the mood for. I have a friend in Ohio, and she's in a band called Slice. They're a hardcore band, just super fun kind of stuff, like very like scowl gel kind of stuff. They just released an album in November. It's like a little like 5-song EP. I'm kind of hoping that they're gonna release something like on a full length, or at least another EP stuff, because it's super fun, like just kind of pissed off hardcore, which is really cool. I have another friend in a band called Kill Uncle, which is very like straight up hardcore, super awesome stuff. Like, it definitely reminds me of like what I listened to growing up, which is
The
I'm a big
hardcore
fan
bands just have some of like the best names.
of. Yeah, like I was like they're just a super awesome person anyway, and then I'm like, all right, and you're also in a fucking awesome band. Like, it's so cool to see. And like they just released a four album or a four song EP on I think it's Irish Voodoo Records, I think. Super super great label. Like I end up listening to like a bunch of their stuff that they had on their Bandcamp, and I'm like, oh man, this is like a new great label. But like I'm hoping they're gonna release some new stuff. And like I said, I listen to the same like eight albums over and over and over again because I have a hard time finding new stuff that I'm really interested in, which is always kind of hard for me. Like I have my tried and true bands that I really love and stuff, but like I have a hard time getting into a lot of newer stuff because it sounds like bands that I already like that have already put out better albums. Like one of my favorite bands is Full of Hell, and they put out like an amazing split with Primitive Man last year. I'm kind of hoping they're going to put out something again this year just because I love seeing what they do. Because they just put out something else with the band Nothing, and it's super awesome. It's very like grindy shoegaze stuff. If you haven't listened to it, I would highly recommend it. But like I like seeing bands that just that push themselves, that try new stuff. So I'm kind of hoping that I'm going to find some other kind of cool new bands that are doing that I'm like, oh, I'm super excited on. There's actually a band called Grave Dweller. They're from Texas.
I've heard of them before. Yeah,
dude, they're the best band out. Like they're amazing. It's like 90s rock meets like punk and hardcore. Like the guy can sing his ass off. They have great songs. I'm hoping they're gonna put out some new stuff, and I'm hoping that they're just gonna like blow up because everybody should be aware of that band because they're
I've been
absolutely
keeping my eye on them.
Yeah, like they're so good. They because I remember last year I found them on YouTube. There was a Lawn Chair Kids or something like that. They do a bunch of cool like live videos and stuff, and I saw them on there, and I was like, I listened to like one song. I was like, dude, I'm fucking hooked, and they were so good. And so like I've been a big fan of them, so I'm hoping they're gonna put out something new as well.
If they haven't done an Audio Tree episode yet, they'd be an excellent fit on there.
I don't think they have. I'm trying to think. I love the anything that they do is like super awesome. It's always like super well produced. Like everything sounds great. Like it's kind of cool to see, especially like a lot of the younger bands stuff, because you're like you know you see a live show, it usually sounds like shit, which you know that's what it is and stuff. So it's nice to see like bands playing live where you can actually
in a controlled environment.
Yes, like you can understand like what the singer's saying, like you can understand what every instrument is doing. Like whoever does the Audio Tree stuff is just, I'm like, their sound people should just get like Grammys or something. Like nobody sounds better than anything on there, and it's so great to see.
It really is. Like I've been following Audio Tree for a long time, and it's not until recently like some of my favorite bands have performed on there. I was alert, like, oh, Heart Attack Man performed on there. Oh, Have Mercy performed on there. Oh, Drug Church, who I saw a couple of weeks ago, they performed on there.
Nice, yes. Yeah, it's so cool to see. And they're so diversive. Like, it's like a lot of times I'm just kind of, I go into a blind. I'm like, I don't know this, you know, this artist, this band or whatever. And I'm like, even like the people who I'm like, all right, like I'm not a huge fan of it, like it still sounds great. Like I'm like, it still looks great. I was like, I don't know how they do it, you know, as well as they do every single time. Like they kill it all the time.
They're just on the ball.
Exactly, for sure.
And we've been brought to our last question. Do you have any advice for anyone wanting to start a band or maybe just bedroom project in 2024?
Do it. It's kind of funny. Like I have a lot of friends who make music for a living, and they have like a stupid amount of money invested in stuff, and like they have just top of the line stuff, which is awesome. You don't need that. Like the album, like the, you know, we've been talking about the Coffin Womb stuff. Like my mic is like $600. I use a Mac that I got like refurbished for like $500. And then like my guitar that I use on it is like a $200 guitar, and the bass is like $200. Like literally, like, you know, $1,400, you can have a full setup for like doing anything band related. And it's come such a long way. Like it's really easy to make shit sound good. And that's like, I get a lot of people who are like, oh, I want to do it, but like, I don't want to sound bad. It's like, dude, it's all digital. Like you have full control over everything. Like any record that you listen to like pre like 1985, your stuff is like 8,000 times better than what they were using. It's like, you can make it sound however you want. If you want it to sound like very lo-fi, like, you know, bedroom pop, if you want it to sound very like, you know, symphonic black metal, whatever you want to do, you're able to do. Like, you have full control over that, and it doesn't cost much money at all.
Oh,
and
the like, effects even, are at your fingertips.
Exactly. It's all plugins, like, you know, GarageBand, Pro Tools, like all this stuff.
Bandhub. They have so
free stuff. Yeah, exactly. It's like they have so many free things that you can use without even having to buy anything else. It's like, dude, you don't need great stuff to make any kind of music, but even like great music, like even like guitars now, like it's so nice to have, like, you know some of these, you know, like Harley Benton, like I swear by their fucking guitars and basses. It's like, dude, there, it's like $100 to $200 for a guitar or a bass, and like, shit sounds good, it plays good, it's not that hard. So like, I always try to tell people, like, if you have any interest in music, try it. Like, it's not going to cost you that much to get into it, to try it. And that to me is like, you know, like I always tell you, I'm like, you don't need to invest, you know, 10 grand, which nobody has, into music. Like, if you have $1,000, which you can save up, like stop going to Starbucks every day, like save up $1,000, you can get 99% of whatever you need and start making music. Like, it's not hard, especially like, you know, putting stuff out, you know, through like DistroKid and stuff. It's like, dude, it's like $50 a year to, you know, put your stuff out on like Spotify and, you know, Apple Music and Tidal and all that stuff. It's like, that's doable. Like, everything is doable. Like, you know, getting, you know, you don't even need like Pro Tools. Like, you can use GarageBand. That's literally what I use for all my stuff. I use GarageBand. Like, it's free. Like, and you don't need all this stuff.
And I edit all my interviews, all the audios and stuff on BandLab. It's
yeah, exactly. There's so much that's free, or that's actually just, that's cheap enough. And like Pro Tools, I don't know if they still do it, but like they used to do student discounts, like for like insane amount off. So like, if you're a student, like you can get Pro Tools for like, it used to be like 60% off. Like, it was a great deal. It's like, why not try it? Like, worst case scenario, like you bought a couple things that you don't use. Okay, sell them to one of your friends that could use them. Like, you're not going to lose anything out of it. Because worst case, you tried it and you were a horrible musician, like a horrible singer. It's like, okay, you can sell your shit. But like, best case, you found something that you're passionate about that you can do, that, you know, you might make some money, you might not. But it's just, it's about creating. It's about having that outlet, about being able just to do it. Say, hey, you know, I made this, you know, this trap album. Like, you know, go check it out. And then being able just to do that. And I always tell you, I'm like, dude, please do not let, you know, any of this stuff hold you back. You don't need professional gear to make music. Like, does it help? Yeah, sometimes. Like, but like, you know, you don't need, you know, a $4,000 guitar.
All you need really is an interface, a microphone, and you're ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. And like, all that stuff is super cheap and super available. Like, you can find it, even like finding stuff used if you don't want to buy stuff new. It's like, you know, Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace, you can find that stuff usually, like, you know, every day that somebody's listing, you know, some of their older stuff. And it's like, why not at least try it?
And even on Sweetwater, you can get the bundles of like the microphone and the interface and like the headphones in your set.
Exactly. You know, it's all right there. And it's just like, not doing it is just, it's a huge disservice. Like I said, you might suck, you might hate it, but you tried it. Like, it's, you know, people spend a lot of money on a lot of other stupid things that don't bring them any happiness or creativity. It's like, why not invest some of that in trying to, you know, do something that you could really, really enjoy?
Exactly. KM, thank you so much for sitting down with me.
Thank you very much, especially, like I said, for the having to reschedule from last night because I was an idiot. And well, I was thinking that you were going to be doing this at 3 o'clock in the morning. I definitely appreciate you taking the time and reaching out and doing this.
Of course, no worries at all. And Godless is out now.
Thank you very much.